Hey guys, welcome to episode 3 of Delta, the fixed income podcast on Amplified, brought to you by Hermes. Just a quick refresh, it's the 17th of June 2019 today. Fixed income markets are in a relatively positive mood. We're at 270 on iTrax crossover. And since we saw you last, no news to update you on the Brexit debacle. We're still exactly where we were. But we have had European elections. The European elections were quite telling in that we got quite bipolar results. Lots of votes for the extreme left, lots of votes for the extreme right. And that's really precipitated a further contretemps between Italy and the European Union. We've also seen a number of numbers, headline macro numbers out of the US, which have been weaker than expectations, which has given rise to the Fed signaling the fact their next move is likely to be a return to a more dovish stance, probably lowering interest rates either in June or July. And the market's loving that, despite the fact that the background noise is negative. They're loving the fact that the Fed is listening to what markets are telling them. So we're also looking across fixed income markets, seeing that differential between the less liquid and the more liquid parts of the market starting to grow again, as we saw in the summer months of last year, which makes our RV view that the less liquid spaces are more attractive than they are than they were at the turn of the year. So this episode of The Delta is slightly different from the other episodes that we've had, and it's talking about a topic which is very, very dear to my heart and dear to the hearts of the fixed income team. We're not focused on one part of the fixed income markets, but we are focused on an experience set which helps us as a Hermes fixed income team to do a better job. Diversity and inclusion are very, very powerful resources in fighting groupthink. And we think having returners as part of the team is one of the most important elements of that. As well as trying to think about ways in which we can encourage returners, we wanted to share the experience of 3 returners with you today and to share some of the challenges, some of the positives, and just to maybe bring you some comfort that all is not challenging in that space. So first, introduce the team, Natu Chokalingam, who you've heard from previously, Angela Sheehan, who works in our commercial real estate debt team as part of our asset-based lending team, and Maria van der Veer, who works in our direct lending team. And we're going to go around the room and ask them for their individual experiences by asking them a couple of questions. So starting with you, Natu, what advice would you have anyone about going on parental leave?
Thanks, Jacko. So firstly, I think before you go on parental leave, make sure you understand the policies that your employer has in place regarding this leave, i.e. how much time you can have off, how both partners can share the leave amongst themselves, and what support mechanisms are in place while you're off and when you decide to return back to work. What I found is that contrary to my initial expectations, there is actually a lot available to employees, but a lot of this information is often not the most easily accessible. Secondly, I would encourage everyone to discuss with their manager what flexibility or support mechanisms are in place when you do return back to work to make your work-life situation much easier for you to manage. Maybe you want to discuss staggered returning back to work, are you returning for just a few days and building it up over a period of time, or working slightly reduced hours so you can deal with nursery pickups and drop-offs. I've had a lot of friends go through this experience as well, and I've noticed a few of them have been quite nervous about approaching their employers about this sort of topic of discussion, especially having returned back after an extended period of time off. But from the experiences that I've seen and from just experiences that friends have told me about, employers are very amenable to working with their employee to make this situation as good for them as possible and making sure that there is a situation that is amenable to both parties involved. And thirdly, I'd say, you know, enjoy your parental leave. It can be a very intense, very tiring, and sometimes you'll feel like you just can't cope, but persevere. And it's definitely one of the most rewarding things I think you will ever do. I found having children gave me a completely different perspective on life, definitely reignited my passion to return back to work so I can provide for them and give them a good future.
And you're slightly different in that you joined Hermes having had your kids at a previous employer. Did you feel those senses of nervousness about coming to Hermes, knowing that you had kids?
I think I did, but I am very fortunate that I work in a team which has a lot of parents, a lot of men who are parents. So there's a lot of understanding. So if I need to leave early to pick up one of the kids or somebody is sick, you know, people understand. So that makes life a lot easier. But, you know, Hermes has a number of different policies in place, which I think makes life easier for working parents.
Great. And while you're here, let's get your insights on the liquid parts of credit markets.
So credit markets have had a blistering start to the year with credit returns of anywhere between 6 to 8% year to date, depending on which subsegment of credit you're looking at. We think that some of the more recent concerns around global growth are somewhat justified, but they will be offset by falling yields given the dovish central bank pivot, stable fundamentals of issuers, and positive technicals of credit markets. Since the breakdown of the US-China trade talks in early May, resulting in tariff increases, the global macro outlook has been in a state of flux, with growth forecasts lowered and uncertainty increasing. However, the moves in risk markets have been quite small so far and not negative for fixed income total returns given offsetting lower US rates. We think there are still a number of interesting relative value opportunities in global credit, i.e. trading up the rating spectrum, extending duration, and selectively moving into EMs. But I think our approach, given the returns year to date have been relatively stellar, has been to play it relatively safe for the rest of the year.
And what's your perspective specifically on EMD here? Is it a relatively safe place for people to go and look?
What we've seen in EM is that a couple of interesting things or dynamics have evolved over the past couple of years. One is when you see an EM wobble in a particular country, that doesn't have a direct follow through to other emerging markets. So it's become much more contained. And that's definitely helped stability in the asset class more broadly. And secondly, corporate fundamentals in emerging markets are generally better than in developed markets, yet it's not widely perceived as such. But we have noticed a lot of companies pre-financing upcoming maturities. That's alleviated some of the near-term refinancing pressures. So the technical situation is also quite positive in EMD.
Great. Thank you very much for that, Natu. And now turning to you, Angela, welcome. Your experience has been one of leaving Hermes to go on maternity leave and come back. Maybe you can sort of fold that into your answers. But first question that I have for you is, what do Hermes and your team do successfully to support you?
Okay, so I work flexibly. I work 4 days a week, and one of those days is at home. This involves a lot more organisation than previously when I was 5 days in the office, but it is just as easy to communicate with my team when I'm working at home. So that works really well. Another thing I wanted to mention, when I returned to work, there was an external session organised by Hermes about returning to work and the challenges that you'd face after taking long leave, parental leave. And that was really useful. It was in about the first 3 weeks when I came back. It was really good for just meeting other parents who work at Hermes that are in the same situation, that have just come back or about to go on leave. And that's just as valuable as anything that HR can organise, I think, to have that support.
Yeah. And what was the positive impact on you and your family and the business of you taking time out to care for children?
Okay, I took 12 months off when I had my son in 2017. I believe that taking time out had a positive effect on all parties. For me and my son, it's really important for emotional and physical development to have that time to bond during the first year. And I also literally needed time to recover from pregnancy and birth. I think it's good for anyone to have a career break for any reason, to help with managing stress. And you can see the effect of that if you go for a long time without having a holiday, without having any type of break. And I think it was really good for different perspectives for the business. So getting in maternity cover for me, someone who has different experience and different perspective for the team, but also for me, spending time around different people than I normally would, having worked in the city for a long time. So spending a lot of time with mostly mums while I was on leave gives you perspective about how people that have different jobs and different backgrounds think. And I think that's really useful for markets and particularly real estate.
Mm. And going back to Natu's response, you were quite careful in that period just before you returned to work to make sure you were touching base, that things were set up the way you wanted them to. And, you know, my experience of being on the other side of that and hearing the conversations that you were having as you were coming back to work, it felt very much like you were quite clear about what you were looking for.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think that's partly from spending time around different people. I spoke to a lot of my friends who are mums who'd returned to work and how they wanted to balance things. And also I had worked at Hermes for quite a long time, so I had an idea about how I could achieve my role and what sort of time in the office I would need and that sort of thing.
Great. You cleverly ducked the question about how you coming back to work has had a positive impact on the business.
Yeah, I did have one thing to say about that. It sounds a bit of a cliche at being more efficient at managing time, but I definitely am much more productive during my hours in the office now than I was before, because I know that I want to leave to get home for bath time. And I think I've got better at prioritising my work.
Great. And an update on your parts of the market, particularly, you know, commercial real estate debt, but maybe if there are themes on the asset-based lending side more generally that you'd want to draw out?
Okay, so real estate debt in the UK is still priced pretty keenly. For prime office and industrial stock, you're looking at a margin of around 150 to 200 basis points over LIBOR for an LTV of about 50 to 60%. Despite capital growth in the underlying real estate market is starting to slow, but that is showing a big difference between the different sectors. So industrial property, which has historically been a high yield in low growth sector, has actually seen significant growth over the last 5 years and now is the lowest yielding sector compared to retail and office property. Retail property is suffering in line with all the headlines about retailer administrations and CVAs that we've seen recently, as well as the growth in online sales, meaning that there is less demand for traditional retail space. And that also fits into the popularity and of logistics and industrial space. Retail market rents and capital values continue to fall, and debt against these assets is hard to come by for borrowers, and it's got more expensive where it is available. However, there are opportunities for lenders for borrowers who want to reposition large retail assets in good locations. And we've seen examples of things that are partial conversions to residential or to office space.
What about outside of the UK? UK retail high street is obviously, you know, in the headlights at the moment. What are our views on what retail might look like in the rest of Europe? And are we seeing any opportunities there?
Yeah, we are. We tend to like prime space the most because that has the strongest demand and the strongest prospects for rental growth. In most of Europe, there is less online penetration for retail sales, so we're not seeing quite such a big challenge to retail space in that way. But also, there is less retail space than in the UK and most European markets. So it's not coming under quite such a large amount of pressure.
Great. Well, thank you very much for that, Angela. Last but by no means least, Maria van der Veer. Maria, like Natu, joined Hermes after having kids. And maybe for you, we've got the harder question of what more can companies do to help parents returning to work after a long period away, Maria?
Yes, so I think in general, for employers to help returning to work mothers and fathers would be to create a supportive working culture, which I think is more important a lot of the times than specific monetary benefits as such, and really focus on sort of two words: flexibility and understanding. And with understanding, I mean that companies, so the managers and team members, have understanding of the challenges the person faces when returning to work, regarding sort of how the childcare has been set up, requirements maybe specifically for the child or dependent they're taking care of, and what that can mean for them on a weekly basis. So be very open and sort of open to those discussions so that the employee doesn't have to start with feeling stressed. And the team and the manager knows the situations and are not confronted with surprises along the way, which haven't sort of been communicated clearly beforehand. And the second topic was flexibility, and that comes back partially to the sort of understanding of the fact that what the requirements are and that unplanned things can occur. And sort of having the flexibility and talk about the flexibility to working from home, shorter days, other solution, in a way that the employee feels that they can do their job, the manager feels secure that the employee can and will perform to what is required. And that will just lead to the employee coming to work confident and comfortable and ultimately, therefore, perform better. People or mothers, particularly, who want to come back to work, they want to come back to work because they really want to work and they want to really perform at their best. And so they will find the time. And coming back to what Angela is saying about working or efficiently, being efficient and handling their workload and in the best possible way, they will do that because they want to do their best. And that's why they want to come back to work. So I think if you have that conversation openly with your manager and your team members, that will create a sort of a confident, relaxed working atmosphere, which makes them perform better.
What can companies do more to get that work-life balance better, even improve from where we are at the moment?
Well, I think it comes back to just having an open conversation, being sort of open about what the challenges are, and not just between the manager and the employee, but also amongst the team, because you don't want to have a situation where the employee feels that, well, I've discussed these topics and these issues with my manager, but the rest of the team still looks at me oddly when I have to leave at 3 o'clock or come in at 10 o'clock because of some childcare issues. So I think it's just about the whole team understands the challenges and also give the same flexibility to people who don't have children, because you don't want to create a working environment where all the sort of perks go to the mothers and fathers who have children and they need to care for and they get the first option on holiday times and things like that. But it needs to be created an working environment where everyone feels that they're getting appropriately the appropriate support and sort of can make the choices which is in their life the best.
Yeah, in order to take away that feeling of guilt that sometimes parents feel when they're asking for flexible working or
asking for
their team and management to accommodate their needs. Okay, great. And maybe a little update from you, Maria, on your area of the fixed income space.
We focus on the Northern European markets, so Germany, Benelux, Scandinavia, and also UK. And in those markets, we saw less activity at the end of last year, beginning of this year. But now going through the quarter two, we've definitely seen deal flow picking up. And even though we see leverage levels in the market creeping up to really high levels, above even 5 times on a senior basis, those are then driven by very high EV multiples. But because we're active in the SME market, structures aren't as aggressive for us, and we can hold off as well on the dilution of lender terms that we are seeing in the syndicate in a large cap market.
Great. Thank you very much for that, Maria. And we have a question that we're just going to go around the room and ask everybody. So I'll go in the order we asked originally. Maybe with you starting, Nachu, what's the most challenging thing about being a working parent?
For me, I think it's about finding the right balance between work and home life and having the flexibility to deal with the unexpected when it arises, i.e., you know, kids are sick, childcare falls through, etc. I had, as Jacko mentioned earlier, I had both my children before I joined Hermes, and I had them overseas. I had a husband who traveled an awful lot, and I had no real support network at all, and I found that very difficult. I think the one thing I've learned in my experience is to have some sort of backup childcare. So someone is there to pick up the kids when they're sick from school, or you have to deal with holidays, or you have to travel. I'm now very lucky in that I have my family to support me, to help me do that. But I realize, you know, not everyone is going to be in that fortunate situation.
And same question for you, Angela.
I think one of the biggest challenges is missing my child. But I agree with Nachu that even when things are planned perfectly, when a child or the parent gets sick, managing work and childcare and attending doctor's appointments is extremely challenging. I am lucky that I also have my parents and my sister-in-law nearby, and they're helpful in emergencies. My husband also is very supportive. But I think the problem of sickness is compounded, that kids pick up a lot of bugs when they start nursery or other childcare. And they're also likely to be a lot more clingy at that stage because they're getting used to new childcare and a new routine. And so they're not that likely to want to be cared for by other relatives. And this often coincides with returning to work after parental leave. So it's quite a difficult time when your child is sick and you can't necessarily leave them with someone else.
Great. And for you, Maria?
Well, I think a challenge is, in general, a challenge with being a parent is managing guilt. And when you're a working parent, you have it twofold because you have the guilt towards not being enough with your children. And you have the guilt towards your employer a lot of the time that you're not enough at work or doing enough what you think you should be doing. So there's a lot of guilt around. And I think it's important to manage that because you don't want to get stressed because of feeling too guilty about not being enough for anyone. So I think it's important that you set up your right parameters of who you're comparing yourself to. So if you're a working mum, don't compare yourself to the mums who are not working and feel that you're less because of that. Or don't compare yourself to employee or colleagues that don't have children, have very different life situations. So compare yourself to other people in the same situation. I'm sure you feel much better and feel that you're doing a really, really good job. Just comparing myself to Nacho and Angela, I don't have family around helping. Both me and my husband have family abroad. So it's a challenge in terms of that. But I have a very supportive husband who's also can help a lot as well. And we actually have very helpful neighbors as well who can help out. So it doesn't always have to be the family, but just trying to see where you can find the help to when you need it, when you're suddenly stuck on the tube and no one can pick up the kids. It's great to have great neighbors who can help out then.
Yeah. I'll have a go at that one as well, given that I'm a dad who really misses his kids. That, for me, is the biggest challenge. I don't shy away from telling you guys that I'm leaving to look after my son on a Tuesday afternoon, and always proud to tell you my stories about my Father's Day. I think, you know, the more open we can be about the challenges of returning to work, the easier it will be for all of us. And I know for myself, the answer to the question that I asked Angela is that having you guys having different experiences coming into the team makes us a stronger experience just through that diversity of experience. I think we make better decisions as a result. So regular topic, all options on the table, where we ask listeners to send in questions. And we've got one in about warnings of declining global growth. I think you touched on it a little, Nacho, but with the WTO and the IMF coming out and lowering expectations around growth, should we really be this bullish? And, you know, subset of that question is, why are fixed income markets reacting in such a sanguine fashion when it looks like equity markets maybe are a little ahead of us in terms of their reaction and volatility to the travails of macro?
I think clearly all the indicators are pointing to a slowdown in global growth, partly driven by trade. One thing that's interesting when I look across the emerging markets that I look at is, by and large, apart from a couple of instances like Turkey and Argentina, we're seeing relatively positive growth in EMs. I mean, a lot of commentary around China growth, particularly with these tariffs. I mean, Chinese growth this year is expected to be anywhere between 6 to 6.5%, even including full-blown US tariffs, probably seeing 0.5% of GDP wiped off that number. So it's still fairly solid. We're also seeing a pretty decent picture in India. Latin America is starting to recover overall. So I wouldn't be overall pessimistic around EM growth. The signs are there for slowdown, but I don't think it's going to be material, at least initially, the impact. And I think just in terms of credit market reactions to what we've seen over the past few weeks is, I mean, the surprising reaction has really been how the markets reacted to the jobs report in June, and markets have rallied quite a bit since then. And that's really driven by what you said earlier, Jacko, that the Fed is probably going to have to act sooner rather than later, and the market is putting pressure on them to act. And the tone has definitely shifted in that regard.
Yeah, and for the perma bears who see all of this doom and gloom and think, you know, there will be a day of reckoning, the difficulty is the liquidity is continuing to flood into markets. We've got $11 trillion US dollars of negative yielding assets out there. And fixed income maybe is the first place that gets infected by that liquidity. And it's hard for a fixed income investor to be short. The other thing that I would point to in answer to this question is, as I look around, and you know, I've been through a couple of these bear markets in my career, I normally can sense or spot areas of the market that are highly levered and vulnerable to shocks. And when we look around fixed income markets, they're much more difficult to spot now than they were in 2006. There certainly are things that smell a little bit like they did in 2006, but it doesn't feel like that structural leverage is weighing as heavy on markets. It doesn't feel like people are being quite as irrationally exuberant on the structuring side as they did then. So thanks for that question, and please keep sending them in, listeners. We'll try to be as honest as we can with them. Clearly, from my perspective, I'd love to see the market start to have a bit of a wobble and like to see some volatility, but the Fed is tough to fight, as we all know. So closing this episode of The Delta, thank you very much, Maria. Thank you very much, Angela. Thank you very much, Natu, for sharing your experiences. I hope those of you out there who are thinking about returning to work or about to leave to go on maternity leave will have found this useful. My biggest perspective on all of this is that, you know, there is value to be added. It is more about openness and conversations around flexibility, and your employer is most likely to want to have those conversations with you. So thank you, listeners, and thank you, speakers. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Hermes podcast. If you found it interesting and would like to listen to more podcasts by Hermes, please visit our website, hermes-investment.com, and search for podcasts. These podcasts are for information purposes only, and the views, information, or opinions expressed therein are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of Hermes Investment Management and its employees. Performance should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. All the performance represented is historical. Past performance is not a reliable indicator of future results, and investors may not recover the full amount invested.